Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. I want to thank you for listening to our radio program this morning. We also ask you to check out our website, www.churchofchristatharrisburg.com. You will find many valuable resources that will aid you in your Bible study. Also, we continue to remind you that of change in our radio program beginning the first of the year. In January 2013, we're going to begin to answer your Bible questions on this program. So write those questions in care of the Harrisburg Church of Christ, 232 South College Street, Harrisburg, Kentucky, 40330. Ask any Bible question on any Bible subject, and we will give you a Thus Saith the Lord for that answer. And we will begin answering those questions on our radio program beginning the first Sunday in 2013. During Christ's public ministry, he was considered the master teacher and well so. He would speak in parables, stories with truth revealed in them for all to ponder and consider. No one was better than driving a spiritual truth home than the master himself. Such is the case of our subject for today. The story of the rich man and Lazarus in Luke 16:19-31 has been the subject for many, many lessons. The debate is often centered on whether this is a parable. Some seem to think that this diminishes the truth contained in it and its teaching. If it is a parable, then it really is not that important. Those who believe it's a real story because the characters are named in it. Let commentators and Bible students study these things for themselves. It does not matter one way or the other. The lesson discussed by Jesus remains the same. Luke is the only writer of the Gospels who records this teaching. It goes along with the Lord's teaching regarding the proper attitude towards riches and material prosperity. Today, we want to discuss what the rich man realized in death that he failed to grasp in life. Let's begin by reading this text, beginning in verse 19 of Luke chapter 16. There was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. There was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who was laid at his gate, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. So it was when the beggar died, he was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom, and the rich man also died and was buried. And being in torments in Hades, he lifted up his eyes, saw Abraham afar off, and Lazarus being comforted. Then he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of the finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that in your lifetime you received the good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted and you are tormented. And besides all this, between us there is a great gulf fixed, so that those who want to pass from here to you cannot, nor can those from there pass to us. Then he said, I beg you therefore, Father, that you would send him to my father's house. For I have five brothers, that he may testify to them, that they also may not come to this place of torment. Abraham said to him, They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, No, Father Abraham, for if one goes to them from the dead, they will repent. But he said to them, If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rise from the dead. Now, from this story and this teaching of Jesus, what can we learn? What did the rich man learn in his death that he never grasped in life? Number one, he learned that no one could satisfy him now. He was clothed in fine purple, sign of wealth, fared sumptuously every day. It literally means merry and splendor each day of his life. He ate each day shiningly. He might live, as we might say, the good life. Yet, Lazarus was a beggar. He desired to be fed by the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. Notice even the dogs licked his sores. This was the only medical attention that he had received. Notice he was desiring to be fed, asking in humility for only those things needed in life. From the account, he did not receive them from the rich man. When death came to both, how did all those things help the rich man in death? Didn't help him at all. You can't take it with you. You brought nothing into the world, you take nothing out. 1 Timothy chapter 6, 6 through 8. All the wealth that you have will be left behind. Read Matthew 6, verse 19 through 21. A man's life does not consist of the abundance of the things that he has. Luke chapter 12, verse 15. All the wealth, all the benefits of riches, all the benefit of having a comfortable life could not help him now in his death. Number two, there was no comfort now. The beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man died, he was buried, but in Hades he lifted up his eyes in torment, according to verse 23. He could see Lazarus being comforted in Abraham's bosom. He asked for Abraham to allow Lazarus to come and comfort him now. Now, who needs help now? Yet, look at the words in verse 25. There's no comfort in death for the wicked. That's why Hebrews 10 says it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God, because he is a consuming fire. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7 through 9, we are told he's coming in flaming fire to take vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel of Jesus Christ. We also know that in 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 through 18, that he's going to take those with him who have been faithful to heaven forever. What comfort can those be given who die unprepared? There is no comfort. Dear friend, if you die unprepared to meet God, there will be no comfort in death, and there will be no comfort because you know at the final resurrection, when you stand before the judgment seat of Christ, that your sentence is going to be that you're going to be eternally separated from God. What he also learned in death that he never grasped in life is that there's no respect of persons in death. Death is the meaning place of all, for we all will die, according to Hebrews 9:27. Death brings the rich and the poor, the high and the low, the good and the bad, the wise and the foolish, the weak and the powerful. They all are put in a level playing ground. In life, God is no respecter of persons. We read that in Acts 10, verse 34 and 35, in Romans 2 and 11. Neither is he in death. Wealth may give you a fancier funeral, a more expensive coffin, more flowers, but the ground to which we all return is the same. Dust we are, and dust will return, Genesis 3:19. And Ecclesiastes 12, verse 7 says, the spirit will go back to God who gave it. Number four, he found that there is only one real standard. Look at Abraham's answer in verse 29 through 31. He needed to hear Moses and the prophets. He rejected them during his life. But he said they would hear if he would send one back from the dead. No, Abraham said they wouldn't. And they didn't, because the Lord came back and they still rejected him. God's standard was available. They must accept it. Jesus said that standard would judge us in the last day. John 12, verse 48. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 12, that will be one of the books that will be opened at the judgment seat. And he is the author of eternal salvation to all those who obey him. Hebrews 5, verse 9. Yes, the rich man found out in death that there was only one standard of judgment. Number 5, he now wanted to be a soul winner. The rich man now was concerned for his 5 brothers. He wanted one to go back and warn them. We find out now that he truly loved them. His concern should have been for them in his life. Can one be helped after death? Can I help someone else after I die? No. That time is past. You see, he knew that his brothers were on the same road that he was on. He knew that they were traveling the same path he traveled. And he loved them enough that he did not even want them to go to where he was. And he wanted one to go back and warn them that they might avoid the same fate that he now found himself in. Ladies and gentlemen, take special note to this point. Many people sometimes say that they reject the Bible and reject the teaching that they know to be true because it condemns their parents or their brothers or their sister or their family members. But ladies and gentlemen, God will be the judge of all men. You're not the judge, I'm not the judge. No matter what happens to them, that's their decision. You have your own decision to make. And Your concern for them does not change what your responsibility is. You need to understand that you're responsible for your soul, just like they're responsible for theirs. It won't do you any good to reject God, because if they could talk to you, and they are lost, and they are awaiting final judgment and in torment, they would not want you to be there with them. Why? Because they truly love you. Number six, and probably the worst, he found there was no hope of recovery from his condition now. Abraham called attention to the great gulf that was fixed. It separated the rich man from Lazarus. The gulf made this separation greater than any that he had made in his own life. While they lived, that gulf could have been crossed. This gulf cannot be crossed after death. Neither could it be crossed to the other side. The condition they found themselves in death could not be altered, could not be changed. It was fixed. His destiny and time to repent were gone forever. Hence, there was no way for him to recover now. Why? Because no changes can be made after death. Please look at the judgment scene as it's depicted for us in Matthew 25:31-46. What can we learn about the story of the rich man and Lazarus? First of all, Hebrews 6:18 says God cannot lie. Remember that. We better not pass up our opportunities to help others while we live on earth. We're commanded to do that in Galatians 6:10 and 1 John 3:17-18. Someday the shoe may be on the other foot. Second, that material wealth will have no value for us in death. It will not make things more comfortable, it will not make things more easier, and we're not taking it with us. For in death, everything is on an equal playing field. Third, while we live in this life, it's time to prepare for this grave appointment. Death will be waiting too late. Fourth, and lastly, death's destiny at the time of our death is sealed. It cannot be altered. It cannot be changed. Men can't pray you out of it. Men can't buy you out of it. And it cannot, and you will not be given a second chance. It is final. It is set. And it will be what we will face the Lord when He comes again. Let us not learn the lesson of the rich man at our death, but let us make preparation while we have time and opportunity. Ladies and gentlemen, the rich man learned many valuable lessons in his death that he never grasped in life. Let us not make the same sad mistake. Understand that there will be no comfort if you find yourself in death unprepared to meet God. Understand that there is only one standard of judgment, and it is not your opinion. It is not my opinion. It is not the opinion of men. It is the standard of the Word of God. Understand that the need to be a soul winner and be concerned for the souls of men is not after you die, but it's before you die, so you can help them prepare their lives for the judgment. And last but not least, dear listener, please, please take consideration. There is no hope of altering your eternal destiny after your death. There can be no changes made. There can be no alterations happen. Whatever you die in, your condition, is what you will face the Lord in judgment with. Use your time wisely. Make good choices and decisions now, and prepare yourself for this day. We will all die. We will all face God. Let us make sure that we have no regrets. Thank you for listening. Please come and worship. Have a good day.